right. Our scripture today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. So hear the word of the Lord. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Father, we thank you for Christ. And I pray now, Father, that as we open the book you wrote, that our hearts would be humble today and that you truly speak to us. Implant your word in our hearts. Lord, our temptation is to drift off and to be thinking about other things and maybe even to kind of slouch down and close our eyes and take a nap. And Father, somehow show us we need to be made alive again. Somehow show us how precious this book is, how precious your church is. Reveal to us our hearts today. Raise up shining lights in a dark world. In Christ's name, amen. The tragedy of playing a part. Most of you might be familiar with the name George Reeves. Superman. Played Superman from 52 to 57. He never liked the part of Superman. He called it a monkey suit. It sort of ruined his career. In 1953, he tried to rejuvenate his big screen career, and he got a part in a movie called, I believe, From Here to Eternity, a major role. Well, they assembled a preview audience, which I guess is customary, and when George Reeves came on the screen, almost the entire crowd started laughing and said, "Hey, it's Superman!" And so when the producers saw that, they pretty much wrote him out of the film. He only had a very short role. So he was forever typecasted as Superman. Just a few years later, he was found dead with a gunshot wound to his head. They ruled it suicide, though many believed it was a murder. Here was a man who played a part. He was viewed by everyone as Superman. Someone he was not. You know, Jesus knows the religious nature of mankind. And that religious nature is for man to play a part. We know how to look religious. We know how to look spiritual. We know the right words to say. We know to be in a church. We know the Sunday school answers if somebody were to ask us. And we don't go out and do a lot of really evil things. And we kind of look pretty good. But Jesus loved these people so much that he wanted to reveal something to them. And that was the danger of playing a part. The danger of being in the right place, but having no heart. The danger of being religious. The danger of coming into a church. The danger of going through religious exercises, but our heart is far from God. Through the week, we never open his book. Never read it. We do not beg God to change our hearts. We're dead spiritually. And Jesus loved these people so much, and he loved us. He wanted them to focus on something. And in this chapter 6, from verses 1 to 18, he gives us three subjects. giving, praying, and fasting. And I don't think Jesus' main intention is to teach us about giving and to teach us about praying and to teach us about fasting. Though he does when he gets to the prayer part in verses 9 to 13, he does give us a little instruction. I don't think that's his main emphasis in these first 18 verses. I think his emphasis is on something so much, maybe shouldn't say so much greater. But notice, 5 times Jesus says in these verses to be seen by them. Verse 2, that they may be praised by others. Verse 5, they may be seen by others. Verse 16, we may be seen by others. Verse 18, that your fasting may be seen by others. 5 times you are doing what you're doing so others will see you and you'll look good. He used the word reward 7 times in giving, praying, and fasting. Verse 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 16, and 18. Reward. Where does your reward come from? Who are you serving to get a reward? Do you get your reward now or do you get it later? Or do you get no reward? Reward. And then he used the word secret in verses 1 to 18 6 times. Do what you do in secret. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he is focusing on evidence that exposes who we really are. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we here today? Why? And he loves us so much that I think the authenticity of our Christianity can be seen in why we do what we're doing. Look at the first point, verse 1. All you are doing is worthless, which equals no reward. Verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. The word beware there in verse 1 is the command in this passage. There are 2 commands in verses 1 to 4. This is a command. Jesus is saying, this is so important. And the word simply means give full attention, devote yourself to this. Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the ends of the earth, is saying to his church and to us today, you better perk up. You better get your eyes open. This is real. This is important. This is not a game. Beware, because this will reveal your heart. Beware that you are not doing what you're doing in your religious activity so other people will see you. Would you be here today if I didn't know it? Would you be here today if the people around you wouldn't know if you were here or not? Isn't it a great question for us to ask? Why do we do what we're doing? So this verse 1 is sort of a summary, a launching point for the rest of the passage, giving, praying, and fasting. Take note. Why are you doing? And notice the word seen here. It's a neat word, theomai, which comes from the word theatron, which we get our word theater. What do? When you go to the theater? You go to the theater to focus on somebody on stage. Back then, it would have been on stage, play acting. They would wear masks and they would play act. You might go to the theater today to see somebody up on a screen, or you might go to a play. And you go there to watch and to focus on what's going on up there, the theatron, the theater, a spectacle on the stage. That's why we get upset if somebody around you is using their cell phone or throwing popcorn in the air, getting up 5 times and being loud and obnoxious. Why? Because we want to see. Well, reverse that. Jesus says, people do their religious activities to be the theatron, the theater. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. See what I'm doing. Well, Pastor Tim, this isn't us. Well, if Jesus brings it up, I think we ought to talk about it. Look at me. And look at the result in verse 1. If that's our heart, and I think primarily he's talking to those that don't have Christ, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. The Greek wording here says that this reward will not be sitting by the Father's side. There'll be nothing for you by the Father's side. Now grab this, because I think a heart that does religious activities to impress others is a heart that's not redeemed. Do we as Christians struggle with this? Oh, sure. But if this is our life, as I think Jesus noticed, he very bold. Your Father, and I think your Father is in the sense of Ephesians where Paul said, God is the Father of all, is the Creator. There will be nothing by the side for you. Wow. Look at verse 2. All you are doing is self-centered, having received your reward. Look at verse 2. Thus, when you give, so here's the first topic. Thus, when you give to the needy, and notice it's assumed we're going to give. This is not a teaching on giving, but it's assumed. Sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Why? Same theme. That they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Now, the trumpet call was a call for battles or soldiers to come to battle. It was a call for a special day, some kind of announcement. So Jesus says, let's don't sound the trumpet when we give. Let's don't blow the horn so that everyone can see us. And notice Jesus just boldly says, that's what hypocrites do. Hypocrites, that's a word which means play acting. Where people would put a mask on and be another person. That means you're not real, you're not genuine. All I'm doing in my religious activity is so others will look at me and praise me and I look good religiously. They made sure they were seen. There were certain times of the day for religious worship and many of these religious leaders made sure they were in the places where the big crowd were so everybody could see them if they knelt down to pray. I want to be seen. I want to be seen. I want to have myself lifted up. Have you ever gone into a restaurant and you order a Arby's big roast beef and cheese and bacon or whatever? And they ask you, would you like to donate a dollar and give to the Children's Miracle Foundation or whatever? You ever do that? If you give a dollar, we'll sign your name on this sticker and we'll put it up there. And you look up and there's all kinds of stickers. Why do they do that? Chances are you are not going to give a dollar if you don't get your name lifted up. Children come with these wonderful candy bars, right? That when I was in school, they were this big. Now they're like this big, but they are wonderful candy bars. And how much does a school get out of that $1.50, whatever, 35 cents? I don't know. Why can't we just give the school 50 cents? But if we know we get something out of it. Now listen, I'm not saying that's wrong, so keep bringing those candy bars. It's amazing. Or if you give so much money, we'll put your name on a brick. We'll put your name on a plaque. And if you give enough money, we'll name the building after you. You can go into some churches and there'll be little plaques on the organ, the piano, the cross, the speaker, the doors, the seats. Given by, given by, given by, given by, given by, given by, given by. Why do we do that? Why is it we can hold a telethon and why do the people on the phone every now and then, let's go to the phones now, and or the person who's the head guy, he has to read, Joe Smucatelli gave $35 and challenges all of his friends to give $35. And Phyllis, whatever, and Jack, whatever. Why do they read those names? Because the person knows if I can get my name read, would you be honest with me today? There's something in us that likes to be recognized. Why can't we just give the Cancer Society $100 and say, don't tell anybody? Because there's something in our evil heart that wants recognized. And Jesus says it right here. Don't sound a trumpet. That's what hypocrites do, that they may be praised. The Greek word praise, doxazo, is the word which means to give weight. We want somebody to give us weight. We want to feel good. We want to have some kind of glory. And all of these organizations know that if people know they'll be recognized, chances are they'll give. We want some weight. You notice something here? The needy are giving, aren't they? The needy are getting, that they had elaborate systems in these days for giving to the poor. So the needy were being provided for, but what does the Father think of it in this passage? Not much, does he? Because he cares about our heart. But notice in verse 2, They do it that they may be praised, so somebody can give me weight. Truly I say to you, now notice now it's not no reward, but now it's they have received their reward. Isn't that amazing? So if our goal is to be lifted up and praised by others, I get a reward. What's the reward? The praise from others. So what does Jesus say here? That's the only reward you get. Oh. Because if I want the glory that rightly belongs to God, I am stealing from Him what belongs to Him while I might be giving to the poor, while I might be preaching a message, while I might be working on the computer or the sound, or while I might be cleaning and vacuuming a floor, while I might be singing, while I might be in the nursery, while I might be teaching kids, we just keep adding all the stuff we do. It means nothing to the Father if we are doing it to be seen. Let me ask myself and all of us a question. Would I do what I do for Jesus if no one else knew? It's a great question, is it not? And doesn't it feel good when others praise you? Now, the Bible does say, let others praise you and not yourself. That's not wrong. What's wrong? If we crave it. If it's the motive behind what we do. And when others praise you, it will feel so good. And you'll be on cloud 9. And if that's your desire, you've achieved your reward here in heaven. On earth. This is not heaven. On earth. But you know what I have found out? That's temporary, that's fleeting. And the one that praised you last week will more than likely be the one that will curse you next week. Why do we do what we do? All you're doing is to be done in secret. Third point. All you are doing is to be done in secret. Verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why? So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So now we've had no reward. You'll get your reward only on earth, and now you will get a reward. See the difference? But all of our doing and giving and praying and fasting and serving is to be done in secret. Now, people are going to see you if you're faithful, right? You can't help that. And that's okay. Again, what Jesus is saying, what do we crave? Why are we doing? Now, notice here in verse 3, here's the second command in these first 18 verses. It is, do not let, and the word no. In the Greek, that's the command. Do not let no. And of course, to make the sentence make sense in English, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, that's kind of a confusing phrase, isn't it? So all day long, make sure your left hand's hidden behind your back so it can't see what your right hand's doing. I wonder what the right hand's doing. What's it doing now? It's simply a way of saying, don't focus and dwell on all the things you are doing in your religious service. Do not, it's a command. Do not, you must choose, and I must choose to not focus on how great I am, how merciful I was when I gave that gift, how loving I was when I helped that person who was stuck in the parking lot and their battery wouldn't start. Oh, I was so loving. The money I give, the time that I serve. Choose not to dwell on, man, I am really great. Remember that movie called The Christmas Story that one channel plays 24 hours on Christmas Eve or Christmas? Remember he had to write a theme? What I Want for Christmas. Remember that? He was so excited because you know what he wanted? Red Ryder BB gun with the compass in the stock and all that stuff. Remember the scene in the classroom when he's reading it? Or is at home, I forget, he's reading it. And it's just about as juvenile as you could get. What I Want for Christmas. I want a Red Ryder BB gun. And he goes through it. And this is going to be a really great gift. And I think I could really do a lot of stuff with it. And he went, great, that's great. That's just great. That's great. Remember that? You don't? Okay, I'm a silly kid, but you don't have to be. But he read his little theme and he just, oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. That's kind of what we do. I give and I serve and I sacrifice and I give of my time and we dwell on it. Man, I'm something. I'm great. I'm great. I'm great. Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't do that. Don't sit and be thinking and dwelling on how smart you are and how wise you are and how loving you are and how great you are. God the Father will puke that out. Because all we have is grace. It's interesting in Matthew 25 when Jesus told about the sheep and the goat judgments. When he was talking about the sheep, the righteous, and the goats, the unrighteous, and he lines them all up and he separates them. One goes into eternity, one goes into judgment for eternity. But isn't it interesting what he says about his sheep in verse 37? Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Their left hand didn't know what their right hand was doing. It was so natural. They were so selfless. They didn't dwell on, I give this much and I serve this much and I do this and I do this and I do this. Verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Wow. And then those on the left, I think, show the heart in Matthew 6. Isn't that something? And what's the promise here in Matthew 6? So that your giving may be in secret. Give in secret. The Greek word means hidden. Not with the motive of being praised by others. Have you ever noticed that desire inside of us that just wants others to know what we did? You ever notice that? Yeah, I got it. You know? Especially with Facebook. Right? It's just something innocent. We'd love to brag. Be honest. You love to brag. Maybe you've arrived. You can be raptured to heaven, but I haven't. There's just something that wants people to know what grade we got, what accomplishment we made. There's just something in us that we want to be lifted up, and we try to draw that out of people. Jesus said, you know what you do, giving, praying, and fasting, may your motive be just to please the Father. Do it in secret. Do it in secret. And then the promise, and your Father who sees in secret will future reward you. Isn't that something? But I don't want my reward in the future. I want it now. I want to be lifted up now. It feels good to be lifted up now. Jesus says, no, you just please my Father now. He'll take care of you then. Take care of you then. That's authentic Christianity. Someone said there is no greater reward in this life than to just simply please the Father. Is your heart there? Is my heart there? What'd you live for last week? Wouldn't it be a great answer to please my Father in heaven? Wouldn't it be interesting if God right now, we turn all the lights off and he would go down the seat, every one of us in this room, and he would put up there what we lived for this week. Now don't raise your hand, but how many of you would be pretty nervous right now? I might be kind of nervous. But doesn't he love us to challenge us with these things? To seek his glory. Isn't that what Jesus did? I came to please my Father. I came to love my Father. I died on the cross for my Father. I went through the suffering for my Father. I paid the price for my Father. For the joy that's set before me, Jesus said. Does that not fit here? Will reward? For the joy that's set before me? You ever look at Jesus' life and then get kind of upset at the things in our life we kind of get upset about? Here is the Son of God, perfect in flesh, God the flesh, the Son of Man, came here, and what happened to him? Of all people, shouldn't he have been riding on a white horse and had people fan him with those big old fans and, you know, just treating him like the king he was? He owned nothing. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He was hated. His life was constantly sought to be murdered. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was laughed. He was called crazy. His own brothers at first did not believe him. They thought he was a nut. They captured him. They had a false trial. And then compare that to our life. Kind of sad, aren't we, at times? Three applications today. First one, we must fear that the Father sees and withholds reward. We must be afraid. Because if our heart's desire is to be praised by others, if we are here today, if we give, if we serve, whatever we do, if we only do it because we kind of have to, and it's not to please the Father, listen, we need to check our salvation. I think that's what Jesus is teaching this. Check our authentic Christianity. Now, do Christians struggle with this? Oh, yes. But we struggle. We don't give in and live in it. We struggle with it. Difference. We're going to get to this when we get to chapter 7. But listen to verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father. Scariest verses in all of the Bible right here. Prayed a prayer a lot of years ago. I've been going to church for all these years. Well, how do you feel about serving your king? I don't really do anything. I just kind of show up every now and then. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. The one who does the will of my Father. The one who practices the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? I cast out demons in your name. I did mighty works in your name. I gave, I prayed, I fasted, I went to church. I did this, I did this, I did this. And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Wow. And Jesus loves us enough in chapter 6 to say, beware, that might be you. It might be you. I fear that many people that go inside of churches in our world today are not even born again. And Jesus loves us enough to say, beware. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's a revelation of what's really in your heart today. But Pastor Tim, it makes me uncomfortable. Praise God. Right? You see, you and I cannot fool God, though we may fool many others. I cast out demons, I gave this, I gave that. But God sees right through that, does he not? I preached for years. Depart from me, I never knew you. What? Look in your heart. And today, maybe you need to come to the cross of Jesus for the very first time and say, God, it was exposed to me today. My life's been all about me. And come to the cross. Seek forgiveness. As a believer, continually come to the cross. Not to get resaved and resaved, that's impossible. But die to self daily and seek grace to help from this monster of self. Do you fight that all week? If you do, I think that's a good indication you're a believer. If you don't, you better get on your knees and ask God if you are. Because I don't know about you, but self to me is like this huge monster behind me just following me around. Did you fight that? You want to be first? You want to be recognized? If somebody else in the church gets recognized and you don't, you are ticked off, upset, and angry, and you're going to quit. Why? Because you're living for self. And I can be just as guilty. We must fear that the Father sees and will withhold reward. Secondly, we must recognize the foolishness of trading God's approval for man's approval. Isn't that just a horrible desire? We just want men to approve us. That's why many pulpits are full of preachers who just tell poems and neat little stories. Because people may stop coming and stop giving, and then what is he going to do? So be it, God, if that happens. But many, it's a sad thing. Stories and fun things and lifting people up because we want people to feel good. Well, I'll tell you what. To me, this is a feel good. He's letting us know if you truly are a follower of Jesus or not. Or if you are and you're struggling with something. And so we got to recognize the foolishness of taking God's approval and trading it for man. You ever watch Let's Make a Deal? You know, door number one, door number two, and door number three. Keep the money, keep the money, keep the money, right? You know there's a car behind one of those doors, but you also know there's a donkey with a cart, right? There's always something bad, or a refrigerator. Who wants the refrigerator and have the car? So the idea, there's a curtain, and you don't know what's behind there. God didn't put a curtain up and say you don't know what's behind there. He tells us boldly and plainly and clearly, if you trade in approval from me for man's approval, you get a reward, but it's only here, and that is it. There'll be nothing from me, the Father, when you get to where you're going. He doesn't hide it. He plainly tells us. I was reading this morning, and I thought it was interesting. Out of Psalm 17. So it fit perfect. It said, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. If we desire the approval of man, all we're doing is desiring for approval and a portion in this life. That's a tragedy. And I think that exposes an unbelieving heart. I really do. I think the reward in this passage goes back to how it was used in chapter 5, verse 12. Your reward great in heaven. There are daily rewards, peace, grace, mercy, love. But I think what he's talking about is, are you truly an authentic Christian? And you tell by what you do and why you do what you do. So if you and I change and exchange praise from God for praise for man, we get a reward. We get a reward. Listen, I've been there when they hand out the medals and the trophies and you walk up there and the crowd's clapping. Man, you feel pretty good. Wow, look at me. I beat you and I beat you and I beat a bunch of you. But if in a religious setting, if that's true, you beat no one, you die and you get nothing because what you got was here on earth. And again, I think the context here, I think he's really concerned about people who are lost. But I think for those of us that know we're believers and we fight self, it's a struggle too, is it not? I just want people to approve of me. Do teenagers struggle with it? Do kids struggle with it? And we think that goes away once we get old, right? I can just get out of high school, you know, I can stop trying to, that peer pressure goes away. Peer pressure never goes away in the workplace. You know, it's, and God says, just please me. And I do think the reward is the future reward, but I do believe also that he does give us grace and mercy and peace. Last point, we must rejoice that the Father sees and he does reward. Here's the good news. The Father does see what you and I do. And he will reward. Hebrews 6:10 is a neat passage. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. You know what that verse says? God sees. God sees. God sees. God sees when you share Christ and when you teach those kids and they don't listen. And God sees when you serve and you give and nobody else knows. God sees. God sees. He is not unjust to overlook your work. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him by faith. And when you read verses 13 to 16, they clearly were not talking about on earth. All these died in faith, having not received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. All these people in Hebrews 11, this chapter of faith, Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and all these, they were looking for the future. Matthew 6, I will reward. God sees. God knows. So what you do, do for God. Please don't do it for me. Please don't. Do for God. Wow, I get to do this for God. Would you be honest this morning? Have we lost that? I get to watch in the nursery for God. I get to watch the little baby so that a mom and dad could sit in here and hopefully hear God's word. I know I'm just a jar of clay. I know I'm nothing. I get to sit in there because I can do it for God. I get to vacuum the floor. I get to keep treasurer's account. I get to keep financial reports. I get to work a computer, a soundboard. I get to do coffee. I get to greet. I get to pray for people through the week. I can do it for God. I get to serve God. Whoa! But to be honest today, have we lost that? Have we lost the privilege? I get to come to God's house for His glory. I get to sing. I got to be honest. Will you be mad at me if I say that? If I say this, you're probably going to be right. But I hear us singing and I'm just so disappointed. It's like I don't even hear us. I don't even hear us singing. I know, hate me, go ahead. But it breaks my heart. Why can't we sing to God? And sometimes I turn around and I look and I know you hate me now, right? Go ahead. I think we've lost it. Have we lost it? 5 years ago when we started, there was such an excitement. I think we've lost it. I think we've lost it. And my heart is broken because I blame that guy behind the pulpit more than anybody. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? Where has the thrill gone? It's because we've lost the spiritual heart. I get to do it for my King and my Lord. He is my Savior. He gave His life for me. I get to come to this place in the morning and at 5:30 at night, but I don't have the energy. I just don't have the energy. But hey, let's go shopping at 5 in the morning on Thanksgiving Eve. I got the energy, boy. I got the energy. Boy, they really hate you now, Tim. They hate you now. Jesus said, woe to you if all men speak well of you. We must rejoice that the Father sees and rewards, and we must do what we do for our King and get back the joy of serving Jesus. We sang this morning, shout to the Lord. And I turned around, I heard, whimper to the Lord. You don't know what a chicken I am to preach this. Because you know why? Because I want you to like me. Right? Do we all not struggle with it? But it's okay if you don't. What you do, do for God, do for Jesus. No matter if anyone else knows it or recognizes it or sends you a note of thanks or puts it in the bulletin, there should be an excitement. There should be a fervor. There should be a joy. How often do we forget to give Him thanks for dying for us? We get upset if somebody doesn't recognize us, but how often do we forget to thank Jesus for dying for us? How often do we put Jesus so far down on our list of what's important? How often do we simply have no energy for Jesus? Yet, He keeps on loving. And He keeps on giving. And He keeps on chastening us. Because what? Because He loves us. Right? Whom I love, I chasten. I'll be honest, if I didn't love you today, I wouldn't preach this message. I can tell some good stories. I could probably make you laugh for 30 minutes if I wanted to. Probably could. I could tell some heartbreaking stories. I could tell some really good stories. Yeah. This is not a game. This is not a game. When you and I stand before Jesus one day, we're going to realize, ooh, that wasn't the game, was it? But what if He says to you or to your kids, depart from me? But I went to Sunday school. I went to church. I opened my Bible. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because you couldn't answer the question why you do what you do. I honestly believe in Matthew 6, Jesus' main concern is not the topic of giving, praying, and fasting. It is why you do what you do. Over and over and over. So George Reeves is on a screen. Hey, look, Superman! He was not Superman, was he? Can I ask you today, do people look at you and go, hey, there's a Christian? Are you really a Christian? Are you really? And if you are, where do we need to repent today? Where do we need to get on our knees and seek something from God that we've lost? Father, I'm amazed You put up with me, that's for sure. I'm amazed You put up with Your church. Father, if I've spoken today and hearts did not receive it or hear it, I'm saddened, and I prayed today, God, that Your Spirit has convicted all of us and challenged us, renewed in our heart. Why do we do what we do? And who am I seeking to please, and whom am I wanting to have exalt me? Father, I believe we need awakened. I need awakened. As we've seen in this amazing, wonderful study in Revelation on Sunday nights, battle between evil and Jesus, the devil and Jesus, and the future that awaits all those who rebel against Jesus. And as we've mentioned in that Sunday night, we're numb. We're numb. God, awaken Your church today. I know we're just this small little tiny church in a big town. That's amazing what You can do with a small, tiny church in a big town. Awaken our souls. Show each of us where our hearts have strayed. Show each of us where we've lost energy to serve you. Convict us and break our hearts. To renew our love for our King and our Savior. Lord, I believe that day when you preached this message that some were probably turning red in the face and as angry as can be. But I think some hearts were broken. I pray today that all of us today would have our hearts broken. As we sing this song and close, I pray that each of us would examine our hearts and thank you for the penetrating power of the Word of God. For I'm first in line. I am first in line. Knelt before you, saying, God, forgive me. Rejuvenate my soul. Give me the grace to endure in faithfulness. Somehow give me an understanding that this is not a game, this is a battle. A battle that started all the way back in heaven. And the king of this battle, Satan, hates your church and hates every one of us in this room, hates us beyond our understanding. Change us and help us, I pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen. Let's